Good afternoon, friends, and welcome again to another edition of the Grace Hour. We are a weekly Christian program that actually daily throughout the day, throughout the week, takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to walk with God by faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and I'm in studio with Pastor Shibeli. And we've been talking about this amazing topic of forgiveness all week, which is a great, great topic, especially this time of year. You're going to be spending time with a lot of relatives and family that you don't normally spend time with, even strangers. And sometimes in our history, things happen, and we tend to bring these burdens with us into our interaction with people. And what a great time to think about forgiveness. Forgiveness. So thanks for joining us today. You can reach out to us through questions@gracehour.org or YouTube or Facebook. We are there live. You can type in your questions and your comments. You can also call in. We'd love to hear your thoughts about forgiveness at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 410-483-3700. We'd love you to join the program with your comments and questions. It could be very, very encouraging to someone else to hear how maybe God has helped you process forgiveness and walk through forgiveness toward your fellow man and toward your family and toward everyone else. So, as we begin the program on forgiveness, we'll start, Pastor Shibeli, with a thought from you. Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 3. And they came unto him, bringing one of the sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
They were watching, as they always do, everything that Jesus did, always looking for an opportunity to come in and refute what he was doing and maybe bring forth a thought that it wasn't based upon the scriptures and the word of God. And so this was quite a statement what Jesus said here, my son, or son, thy sins be forgiven you. And I think, first of all, just calling him son, that was enough to maybe set them a little bit on edge, you know.
Sure.
He said son. They knew that wasn't his actual natural son, but it was a term that he used, calling him son. Thy sins are forgiven. And why did they get so upset? Why were they reasoning in their hearts? And why did they say he was speaking blasphemies? It was because of the particular word that he used there. And that particular word is, in the Greek language, aphemi, A-P-H-I-E-M-I. And this particular word is much more than what we think it to be when it just comes to the idea of forgiveness. This is what Jesus actually said in this portion of scripture. Number one, your sin is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the penalty has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, righteousness is given by grace. They went ballistic in their minds when he said that word. Like, that's why they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? I mean, that's what really bothered them.
Mm-hmm.
Who can forgive sins but God alone? Because of this particular word, they called him a blasphemer. And what was he saying here? It was so important that not only is your sin forgiven, I've removed the penalty for your sin, and I'm going to bestow on you the gift of God's righteousness, the free gift of God's righteousness. And they cried out, blasphemy. This is absolute blasphemy. And then, of course, we know the story as Jesus, hopefully we know the story as Jesus spoke to them and talked to them about which is easier to say. Why reasoning ye these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up, take up thy bed, arise, take up thy bed, and walk? For that you may know, verse 10, that the Son of Man has power or authority on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way to the house. And immediately it took place.
Wow.
So really understanding forgiveness and not just living in what we would call human forgiveness. And in the gospel, and that's why it's good news, because God forgives.
Mm-hmm.
It's good news because God forgives. On the cross, what did he say? Very simply, their sins should be forgiven, okay? Forgiveness. He preached forgiveness from the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't hold it against them. So the gospel is really based upon a foundation and a truth of forgiveness. This is what the gospel is. If God didn't forgive, it wouldn't be good news.
Yes.
How could it be good news if God wouldn't forgive?
Right.
So we have the spirit of forgiveness in the gospel, the word of forgiveness in the gospel, and the life of forgiveness in the gospel. And it equips us. The second thought we had was, how does this equip us to forgive? Well, it's very simply, we are given God's word and God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have the message, God's word and God's spirit, and that is how we are equipped to forgive people. It can't come from the natural man.
Mm-hmm.
It can't come from the temporal natural man. And would true forgiveness be possible without the gospel? Of course not.
Wow.
Of course not. It cannot be possible. True forgiveness. Okay, if you want to talk about forgiveness, like somebody can forgive somebody that, you know, dumped all of their garbage on your lawn or something like that. You know, there can be human temporal forgiveness. There can be forgiveness. You took my parking place, you know. I can forgive. There can be natural forgiveness. So there would be natural forgiveness, but not true forgiveness. Without the gospel, true forgiveness is really an impossibility. Because
wow.
That's what the gospel is all about, true forgiveness. And we can see this in the scriptures. Micah chapter 6 and chapter 7 especially speak about forgiven. Being a person who forgives, pardoning sins. We can see this in so many places. What did Joseph do with his brothers who sold him into Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 45 and Genesis 50, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph wept because he had forgiven them.
Wow.
And I really believe the moment a person, this is how God would have it to be, the moment a person sins against you, you forgive them right there. They don't even have to ask for forgiveness. That I forgive you right there. Right there and then. I don't think it through, bring all kinds of questions in, all kinds of debates, all kinds of human reasoning and counseling. But in my heart, I say God paid for that sin that this man just committed.
Mm-hmm.
He paid
mm-hmm.
for that.
Sure.
So if God forgives them of all of their sins, then who am I to hold sin against another person? So we can see the importance of forgiveness. And that's why we have a throne of grace. And what do you get at the throne of grace?
Mercy.
You get grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You get grace and mercy. You get the person of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you get the finished work. You get grace and mercy. What happened? Read if you have a chance today or some other day, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. You can see how David was so forgiven by God, even after he committed murder and adultery. And that's interesting, because if you look at the Bible, we've said this quite often, a lot of the Bible was written by murderers. Mm. Moses murdered an Egyptian and hid him in the sand, and he wrote the first five books of the Bible. David wrote a lot of Psalms, and then you have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2, you got Chronicles, you got Kings, and the Psalms, and all of this written by David, who killed Uriah the Hittite. And then much of the New Testament is written through the Holy Spirit by Paul, who was Saul, who really had to understand forgiveness.
Yes.
For him to immediately, after he meets Jesus on the road there, rise up, and you're going to be a preacher. I'm going to make you a preacher. Okay? And even the church was really reluctant to receive him. And why is that? Well, maybe his reputation, maybe what he had done in the past. But I wonder, did they understand forgiveness? That God could even forgive this man who was persecuting the church. So God's compassion is in Lamentation 3, 22 and 23 are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Now, what does his faithfulness relate to? His mercy, his compassion. They're absolutely faithful. God could forgive Noah and use him to build an ark.
Mm-hmm.
And God and Noah could get drunk and be lying around naked, and that's sin. But God's heart towards Noah, forgiveness. Genesis 16 and 17, you see, after Abraham went in and to Hagar, and Ishmael was born.
Mm-hmm.
And he appears to him in Genesis 17:1, and he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. See, God had forgiven Abraham already in his heart, in his thought patterns. Jacob, understood forgiveness when God changed his name to Israel. Mm-hmm. Genesis 28, Genesis 32. So forgiveness, think about, we've had some people that are from one particular tribe in East Africa, really decimated by another tribe.
Yes.
And they had to really learn and understand forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And those who have the gospel and those who are people who are sourced in the Holy Spirit's life, they can forgive. Without the Holy Spirit's life and without the gospel, the forgiveness is only something surface. Mm-hmm. It's something temporal. It's something natural. But it's not God's forgiveness, which really sets a person free. Mm-hmm. So once again, the word aphemi, your sins are forgiven. The penalty is removed, the penalty for your sin, and God gives you his righteousness. Hmm. That's why they say only God can do this.
What's interesting, I think, also too, Pastor Shabelli, is for many of us, we don't connect the gospel to forgiveness. It's so interesting. You can see people that can promote the gospel but have a heart of unforgiveness. And actually, it can affect your evangelism. It can affect the way you evangelize. It can affect who you evangelize. There have been many people throughout history that have lived evangelically, even in this country, they've lived evangelically, but they have not forgiven.
Absolutely. Remember that story? I've told it quite often. I don't want to bore you with stories that are told over and over. Maybe
I'm not sure you're boring me. Tell it again.
In the listening audience, a woman had one son.
Uh-huh.
Then what took place was the son of another woman killed him. Mm-hmm. He died in some kind of a crime. And then the mother died, and so there was the two sets of mother-son. So the mother died, and now this son who actually committed murder was left alone. And he was somehow granted a reprieve from the sentence because some court technicality. Mm-hmm. So the mother of the son who died, mm-hmm. went to the murderer and said, "You killed my son. Would you be my son?"
Wow.
And that's amazing. You killed my son. Mm. Would you be my son? Like you say, who could ever do that? God. Only God can forgive like that. Because isn't that what we did? Our sins. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We didn't physically be involved in the actual crucifixion. Mm-hmm. But our sins was what Jesus went to the cross for. So my sins killed him, uh-huh. Okay, or sent him to that place of the cross so he could die for the sins. And then he says to us, because of forgiveness, you can be my son. That's the grace message, and that's the gospel.
Yeah,
it's the very same thing. You killed my, God the Father says, you killed my son, now you can be my son.
But maybe the challenge for us, even as believers, we struggle to forgive because when we hear in the gospel that God forgives my sin, we don't think corporately that uh-huh. Jesus died for someone else's sin. So consequently, when someone else sins, it never crosses my mind that they are as forgiven as I am.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so or like it's for me, but not for them. So it's possible I could be a born-again Christian and have a gospel that doesn't have forgiveness in its expression.
Yeah, Richard Wurmbrand had somebody that he went home one night and there was somebody that was stealing all of the things from his house. Mm. And he said to the man, the guy was very afraid what was going to happen. And he said to the man, you know, there's a couple things you forgot. Why don't you come inside and take this, this, and this? Because these could help you out also. Yeah. You know, you took my couch, you took my this, my that, you know, but there's a couple other things that maybe you could use.
Yeah.
And the guy brought everything back into the house because he realized that Richard Wurmbrand was not going to turn him in, was not going to prosecute him, uh-huh. but was going to love him and be merciful to him and forgive him. Mm-hmm. So he ended up bringing everything back and got converted. It's quite a story.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How I can, as a believer, one of my evangelical tools, one of the forward pitches of my gospel is forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think when you think about the first century church, one of the elements of the first century church's gospel that won so many people mm-hmm. was forgiveness. They bound up the wounds of Gentiles and Romans, and yeah. they had a ministry to people who hurt them, and their gospel was full of forgiveness. It's amazing how many people want to have a repeat of the first century church, but do they yeah. have a forgiveness in their gospel like the first century church?
Do they have a Luke 10 forgiveness?
There it is.
When, you know, it's a Samaritan. Mm-hmm, he mm-hmm. brings him home, binds up his wound, his wounds, then pays the room at the end, and then says, if he owes anything when I come back, I'll take care of that. And so this is like Jesus telling this story and using the word Samaritan, which is what the religious Jews couldn't stand, Samaritans. They would go around Samaria. They wouldn't even travel through Samaria because they thought them only being half Jew, actually, you know, and part of Syrian or a mixture there, that they wanted nothing to do. And that's how they thought. They were such strict. By the way, you can be such a strict fundamentalist that you lack a heart that's after God. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, a man submitted in receptivity to my own heart, who will fulfill all of my will. No one can fulfill the will of God without having the heart of God. You cannot do that. So fundamentalists and people, you know, and of course we understand the importance of having right doctrine and fundamental truths, but is love, mercy, and grace in that ministry? Is love, mercy, and grace? Can you forgive? Can you draw people? Do you have a gospel, or does your gospel say, you know, don't do this and you can come to church? Don't do that and you can come to church. I heard a man say that one time in Africa to somebody, you know, you got to stop smoking before you come to church. You know, I'm like, who is this person? What are you saying to this man?
Wow.
You know what? Coming to church will stop his smoking. Coming to church will help him to grow out of this lust pattern or that problem, whatever. But you're telling him he has to do this, then he comes to God. Was that what Jesus did? Jesus put his hand in the hand of a leper. He didn't say, when your leprosy is okay and you're cured, then we'll have some fellowship. He didn't say, you know, to the Mark 5 man, you know, he didn't say that. The man became an evangelist of 10 cities.
There it is.
So here we are. People are saying, you got to do this. And I understand truth and I understand foundations and I understand what it means that this is something that God hates, sin.
Sure.
Okay. But I've got to initiate this gospel of forgiveness so people can receive it. Then they can change. You want them to change and then receive the gospel? So you're telling them to change through their own power, through their own ability, and they cannot do that.
That's
and even if they did that, it might be a temporal thing that's done by man, but nothing that's done by God.
Beautiful.
And what God has done, you know. Can you imagine all of a sudden you're the Apostle Paul, and you've been persecuting the church, and you try to join the church, and they tell you, it's too dangerous for you to be here. It's too dangerous. Now, and I don't know. I mean, there's circumstances to that, of course.
Sure.
But they sent him off, and then he began his ministry. And the ministry to Gentiles was even give mercy to the Cornelius?
Yes.
You must be kidding me. What's Peter doing? He's going to Cornelius's house?
Yeah.
I mean, is God going to be merciful to these people too? Roman centurion? I mean, you think about it. He called, he said the two people that they would have great faith. One was a centurion, okay? And that's in Matthew chapter 8. He said great faith. The other was the woman who was a Syrophoenician woman.
Yes.
So he said, you have great faith, the two people that were totally outside of the Jewish realm of thinking. They would never say that. They would never do that. They wouldn't fellowship. He's talking to a woman of Samaria. It's bad enough he's talking to a woman alone, but she's a Samaritan woman who's on her fifth husband. See, they had no understanding. Even those who followed Jesus, like many of us at times, we follow Jesus, but do we understand the heart of God and forgiveness? This was key. And this was why I love the prison ministry. Why? Because in prison, what kind of message are people getting? Are they getting clean up your act, stop doing drugs, don't do this, don't do that, don't steal anymore, get a vocation, you know, do something that the world thinks could reverse your sin and your failures? No, we give them the forgiveness of God.
Wow, I love that. Because I think sometimes as a Christian, if I'm not careful, my gospel has doesn't have forgiveness in it. I was thinking about it like this. Sometimes my gospel may have a conditional forgiveness. If what you just said, if you stop, if you do this, then there's forgiveness with God. Then another one I was thinking of was a partial forgiveness. Okay, you're forgiven, but don't do it anymore. Or you're forgiven, but going from this point forward, you'll never do it again. Or the third one I was thinking of was a delayed forgiveness. Like, okay, you walk with God. Here's the gospel. You're saved. You're born again. But I'm not sure about the forgiveness part. The forgiveness part you'll get along the way. You have to keep asking for forgiveness because you're not really forgiven. We just want to build it up. So when you have a gospel with no forgiveness, how can God draw unsaved people? And that's the question I want to ask you on the other side of this break. how do I forgive as a believer unbelievers? We'd love to hear your comments and your contributions to the program. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060 and locally at 410-483-3700. We're talking about forgiveness here on the Grace Hour. That's my question.
Well, of course, if they're not born again, they would not have the Holy Spirit, so they have no source of forgiveness.
But how do I forgive them? Let's say I'm a believer.
Well, I forgive them because because of the heart of God, that God mm-hmm. forgives sins. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus did when he would walk mm-hmm. around. There was something about his words and his presence that they understood that they could be easily forgiven. It was the message of the gospel, and they were not saved. So he would initiate God's heart, God's love, and God's mercy, mm-hmm. okay, towards people, and that would draw them to Christ, mm-hmm. draw them to the gospel, draw them to the person of God and the work of the cross and the Holy Spirit's life. So that's key. So we were preaching the gospel, and what does the gospel talk about? Forgiveness.
Yeah.
The gospel, it's good news, it's forgiveness.
Well, sometimes it's challenging, I think, for believers. I like how you put it. The gospel is what equips me to forgive people sure. because I have the heart of God.
Yeah.
I have the heart of God. Right, so when someone offends me, when someone wrongs me, and they're not a believer or they are a believer, the same forgiveness I have for believers, sure. I have for unbelievers. The gospel has, as much as the gospel has given me forgiveness, I can express forgiveness through the gospel to the world.
Right. And it's like they're gonna understand that, wow, this person is forgiving me. I'm not even a Christian. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're a Christian. They're forgiving me, and it can change them. Mm. It can change them. If you act just like everybody else acts towards them,
uh-huh.
so there's a problem between two people, and one person doesn't forgive the other person mm-hmm. at all, and what does that come to? Nothing. Comes to nothing. But there's a Christian involved, and they say, I can forgive you. You could take all the rest of the furniture if you want it, because I don't really need it. You know, maybe I think what Wurmbrand said in that case was, maybe God is delivering me. I have too much. Mm. And maybe that's what it is, you know. So I think it's just interesting. We have a lot of comments.
Let me read a few comments from our audience here. Kia Queen says, amen. Wilson Akadina, that's Pastor wow. Sam's son, watching from Uganda.
Wilson!
Glad to be here, Pastor Wilson. Good to hear from you. Pastor Robert Osaga, hi Pastor Belly, hi Pastor Ronaldo, great thoughts, God bless. Bishop Anobili.
Annabelle,
thank you. Hi Annabelle, I just mispronounced your name.
Bishop, but I'll forgive him.
That's what it says. Let's see else. Nesta Herrera, God is amazing. Pastor Gerald from South Africa, amen. Forgiveness runs on the power of the blood of Christ. No applied blood, no forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Layered Bean, many people separate forgiveness from forgetting. But forgiveness includes forgetting.
Yes, yeah. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark. In other words, like, I can say I've forgiven somebody, but when they do something that is building on what they've done before, they mm-hmm. they sin again in that area, I say, you're always like that. That's what you're like. Oh, again? You did it again? That means you remembered. Yes. And it's going to take God to use a spiritual grace eraser on the mind. We need a spiritual grace eraser that just mm-hmm. erases it, you know? And there's people, things that have happened. I have a story in an African country where a person left the ministry as a pastor.
Sure.
And they started, and they ended up leaving their wife, and they married somebody else, okay? And their first wife wasn't saved, so they left their wife and they married somebody else. And then they started to say all kinds of negative things about the ministry and mm-hmm. me. And then one day they appeared at my house and they knocked on the door and I said, come on in. And they said, I just want to know, is it possible for you to forgive me? I said, I forgave you a long time ago.
Hmm.
I said, I never replaced your position. So go back and do what you were doing pastorally, just like you did before.
Wow.
And I said, I've got to forget this. I got to forgive and forget. And this will be, and it was a great testimony to other people.
Mm-hmm.
See, other people say, wow, this is like the forgiveness of God. And that's only done by the Holy Spirit, not by us as
yes.
natural people. Natural people, we would like to just, you know, execute somebody or get rid of them, you know.
Wow.
But
they gotta
forgiveness.
Go.
Yeah, forgiveness.
It's interesting also, if Jesus says, or the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
No memory. Huh?
And no. I think about forgiving and forgetting this way, that it's not that it didn't happen. It's not that it's not in my mind. What it loses because of the cross is its value, its impact, and its meaning. In other words, it happened, but I don't. I remember that it happened, but I remember that it's forgiven, and it doesn't move me anymore. There's no emotional response to it. I don't think about it. It's like things that happen that you don't think about. And sometimes God can take it completely out of your head. But also, too, when it's forgiven, that means it's not a, the value is removed. The value of what caused the need to be, of the sin, of the hurt is removed. It's a powerful thing to forgive because that, like you said, it requires God. And it's a powerful thing to forget because that also requires God. Like in Genesis 45 and Genesis 50, Joseph didn't forget what his brothers did. But he chose to remember that he forgave what his brothers did. And that's what the forgetting was all about. And I think sometimes we put the forgiveness in the ability of the believer. Do I have the ability to forgive someone? And the answer is no. I don't even have the ability to forgive myself. Paul said, I think Pastor Shala quoted it yesterday, 1 Corinthians 4:3. I don't even judge myself.
Yeah.
If I can't judge myself, I can't forgive myself. So I have to take the forgiveness of God and apply that to myself,
right,
which creates a capacity in me to also see someone else the other way. And you made a great point. The gospel is the connection with that. Because the gospel is the one thing that shows me the heart, that gives me the heart of God towards someone else and puts people in their right position before God, targets of the gospel.
I mean, let's say I'm not a person that can forgive, or I don't forgive, I choose not to forgive. You probably remember and don't even forgive yourself.
Yes.
And so you have such a poor self-image because you're not set free inwardly by understanding that God forgives me. Then you cannot forgive you don't forgive yourself, so you're doing something contrary to God's mind and God's heart.
Yeah.
And it's not the gospel. And then that's going to be something that becomes like a chain link. So I can't forgive other people that do things to me that have taken place, and they can be legit and they can be real. And why is it that many people that end up in a divorce, don't take this like in a wrong way, but end up getting divorced again? I think sometimes what happens is they just keep remembering the failures of the first marriage, and they don't forgive. They haven't forgiven themselves or their first wife or something like that, and then they cannot forgive, and they take that into the second marriage, and on and on it goes. You know, and it's very important. This is such a great topic. Forgive.
It's like your what you're describing right now is a grudge.
Yeah,
a grudge is when I carry a burden, or I carry an ill will, or I actually form a decision about someone else based on how they've hurt me. It's a grudge.
Yeah.
And the grudge from the first marriage I carry into the second marriage. And what's funny is that the second marriage, you pay the price for all the sins of the first marriage. Like sometimes someone hurts you in a specific area and you find it hard to forgive, not just because of what they've done, but you're also suffering from all the grudges that you carried from people that have hurt you. And you're making this person pay for all of the past as well as what they've done. It's like all pushed on one person. Like you ever had somebody do something very small to you? And suddenly it's so hard for you to forgive that small thing because maybe you're taking the pain and the grudges from previous hurts and you're also thrusting that on the person.
I mean, just look in the scriptures, look in the Bible, and you can just see God's forgiveness everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's everywhere. It's towards Noah, towards Abraham, towards Jacob, towards Joseph's brothers, towards Moses, you know. When he kills an Egyptian, towards David, I mean, it's towards the New Testament church and the church bringing that message out that forgiveness is the gospel. And so, you know, Satan hates that message. So he does everything he can to resurrect in people's minds what people have done.
Yes.
You know, in the past or something like that. So he hates forgiveness. Because you wonder, you know, like he knows, and because he's an angel, he's not a man, not a person. He cannot be forgiven. He cannot be. In other words, he cannot be forgiven for what took place because this was the message to man.
Okay.
God made man in His image. He didn't make angels in His image. Sometimes people have this idea that you know, Satan and demons are people or something like that. They're not. They are not made in the image of God. And it's very different because people could say, well, how come if he forgives, how come he doesn't forgive what they did?
Yes.
You know, They're not human beings. They fell one time, and they had great access to God in the third heaven, and their access into the third heaven, and that was the end. Mm. That was the end. And so Satan likes to propagate something that's contrary to forgiveness. He really does. He tries to take that out of the gospel, mm-hmm. where the gospel becomes so fundamentally hard mm-hmm. on people that they reject it. I've met many people that they want nothing to do with church because of maybe the way they were treated, you know, in mm-hmm. church, or something happened with church leadership and there was no forgiveness, or there's no forgiveness in the church. And they just say, you know what, I don't need this.
Yeah,
I don't need this. And I understand that, mm-hmm. But we can say this: if you have a bad sandwich at one restaurant, you don't stop eating. You find one with a good sandwich. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you've had a problem in a church, but it has really damaged your unconscious, subconscious mind, and so you don't want anything to do with mm-hmm. Christians or churches anymore. And really, God's forgiveness and mercy wants to come in and just operate in a way that unconscious, subconscious mind is not the mind of God.
Yes,
yeah, you got to live in God's thoughts and God's mind.
I think that's also the key. You make a great point. There's this disconnect in my Christianity where maybe someone's giving me the gospel, but there's no forgiveness in the gospel.
Yeah.
Or someone's forgiving me, but there's no gospel in the forgiveness.
Yeah.
So then if it's a forgiveness without the gospel, it's gonna be carnal. It's going to be natural. It's going to be fleshly. It's going to be conditional. It's going to be limited. Mm-hmm. And then when you give me a gospel with no forgiveness, what you've given me is a works program.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the gospel without forgiveness is me trying to work to make up for things that I've done versus mm-hmm. forgiveness in my gospel, where what I've done has been paid for once and for all, and I'm redeemed and I'm saved. And on the basis of my redemption, I'm justified, I'm declared righteous. And on the basis of that, I'm declared righteous because my sins have been paid for. So without forgiveness, redemption is impossible. Justification is impossible. It's impossible for me to walk in the righteousness of God unless I'm first forgiven.
I mean, think about this. Like, what you say is that what Jesus did on the cross was of no value.
Wow.
In other words, like when you can't forgive,
mm-hmm.
what are we actually saying? What statement are we actually making? What's actually going on there in that particular situation? I cannot forgive. I won't forgive. I have no forgiveness. Well, then you're saying that Jesus Christ, the person of God, and the blood of God have been nullified. Mm-hmm. They're of no value, you know, and that's why Jesus died for sinners.
Yes.
Hello? I mean, Jesus was merciful. He had mercy, and the work of the cross was mercy. So the person and the work of the cross all have to do with forgiveness and mercy.
Yes.
That's why it's the gospel. And, you know, telling the very people that were involved in what took place in his life and putting him and bringing him to the cross— that Father forgives them,
mm-hmm.
they know not what they do. And that's an interesting point. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so can we have that attitude toward somebody who sins against us or treats us the wrong way? They don't know what they're doing.
That's a hard word. You know, we always assume that they do.
Yeah.
We always assume that hurt is intentional. We always assume that sin is intentional. And if it's intentional, then you can stop it, or you have the choice to do it. When actually many people hurt you in your life and it's unintentional. People don't sit around and plot and plan to hurt you. They're not having secret meetings to hurt you. Most hurt in your life is unintentional. It's just the frailty of humanity. It's just man being man. They lie because they're men and they're women, and they sin because they're human, and they make mistakes, and in their experience they can fall short of the glory of God's expectation in a moment.
How about when you have a gospel message which says you can lose the Holy Spirit if you sin? That's blasphemy.
That's a huge message.
And there's a lot of people in Christianity around the world that do not believe in eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is God's forgiveness is not eternal.
Wow.
That's what you're saying. God's forgiveness is not eternal, and the work of the cross is not eternal. Because you can lose God if you sin,
mm-hmm.
if you fail, really. So did Peter lose God in Acts chapter 10 and 11 when he was prejudiced?
Mm-hmm.
No, he did not. You might lose fellowship with God.
Right.
You might lose the experience, but you never lose your position. Your position is in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and God is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4.
Yes.
So that gospel that people preach based upon works or your ability to walk a certain way, mm-hmm. and that you could lose the Holy Spirit. So that means God's forgiveness was temporal.
Yeah.
God's mercy was temporal. His forgiveness was temporal. That gospel is actually blasphemy. And wow. You can be out there and you can be in a church that preaches and teaches that, but I'm going to tell you point blank, that gospel is not from God. That is not from God. When you are under the teaching of men of God or people that say that if you sin, God leaves you, and then, okay, you repent, he comes back. You could have the Holy Spirit coming and going all day long. Even he would get tired with that, you know? Think about it. That's just a little thought there. But think about that. No. Maybe we get to a place where when we sin, we don't experience God.
Yes.
But God doesn't leave us. Remember the prodigal son, that message there. Mm-hmm. My son. This is my son.
Yes.
Come back. He's always the son. He's out in the pig pen of mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. living in sin. He's mm-hmm. made wrong decisions. But this, my son, was lost, and now he's found.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been my son. That's what Jesus said in Mark 2. Son, yes. Your sins are forgiven you.
Yes.
You know? And he saw him as a son even before. Had he actually received this forgiveness yet?
No, he hadn't.
But he called him what before he received it?
I called him son.
He called him son before he received it.
Wow.
Because he knew the response and what was going to take place. And that's how God sees us. And really, that gospel that says you can lose God if you sin or you fail,
mm-hmm.
it is such a false gospel. It is such a thing that causes people to literally what? I mean, it can drive a person crazy.
Sure.
Because one day I'm saved and the next day I sin and I'm not saved. I keep thinking, like, what's going to happen if I die?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I had a bad thought. Did mm-hmm. I die mm-hmm. with that bad thought? You know, mm-hmm. it is actually preposterous. It's ridiculous.
That goes back to the partial forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm forgiven until the next time. And really, isn't that the essence of 1 John 1:9? The entire doctrine of rebound is relational.
Yeah.
I'm rebounding in a relationship. I'm not recreating the relationship. Those who teach that you can lose the Holy Spirit don't believe in the doctrine of rebound, but the doctrine of recreation. I have to reconnect and recreate a relationship with God. Okay, I made a mistake. I'm disconnected from God. Let me recreate the relationship. No, I'm in the relationship. We're not talking. Let me address and fix the issue that's stopping us from talking, and we continue. We just continue.
I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Isn't that John 10:27-30, you know? People ought to read those things and read where we have great security. It doesn't, and by the way, that security doesn't propagate or cause me to be a person that will go out and keep sinning.
Yep.
In other words, like, no, when I understand how valuable I am to God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sin. It actually does, because you get that accusation all the time. If you preach that message where they have eternal security, you're just giving people a chance to go out and sin. No, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You know? Do you understand? In other words, so you want to change God. Is that what you want to do?
Well, they think that the curb or the correction so that you don't do it is to tell you that you could lose it, because otherwise it's antinomianism. And okay, you just give people a license to sin and do whatever they want to. You know, and really, are you the guard of God? Are you the check of God? So God's going to change his mind to prevent people from making mistakes. That's not how the Bible says.
Forgiveness.
But it's a great, great thought this afternoon. We're talking about forgiveness in my gospel. Is there forgiveness in my gospel? So many times we preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, without forgiveness. If it's a complete gospel, it's a complete forgiveness. Mm. The security of my forgiveness is the security of my gospel. They're connected. Ephesians chapter 1:7, Ephesians chapter 4:32, it's connected. So this is the heart of God. How can you say the heart of God is a heart of unforgiveness? The plan of redemption is based upon forgiveness. We've been redeemed, bought back from the slave market of sin. How can that not be forgiveness? So true forgiveness must have the gospel. Without the gospel, in its message and in its intent and in its motivation, it's not true forgiveness.
And let's bring this gospel message and this forgiveness into relationships. How does the husband see the wife? How does the wife see the husband if there's sin?
Mm-hmm.
Do they see it? If they don't see it through forgiveness, things do not get better. How about children and parents? Can parents forgive their children? Can children forgive their parents? How about people that work together?
Mm-hmm.
How about people in church? And of course, it's going to be allowed that things are going to happen because we all have an old sin nature.
Sure.
But do you have any mercy? Is there any mercy towards a person? And, you know, who knows? I mean, put yourself in their place. Maybe they're being attacked by the enemy to try to penetrate their flesh, and you've never experienced that particular assault mm-hmm. that they have. And just be merciful. Be merciful towards them. This is key.
That's a big word.
How much time left?
That's a big word. A few minutes. We're good. But that's a big word, mercy. I think sometimes we don't see forgiveness as a component of mercy. The larger doctrine mm-hmm. is mercy, and the extension of mercy is forgiveness, which is why on the cross, the first thing that happened on the cross is the extension of mercy, graciously merciful towards man, taking away what we are supposed to get. God is merciful to us. And the result of that mercy is a position of being forgiven. Mm-hmm. We've been positioned as we're – this is a great thought. Living as you're forgiven, living my life as I'm forgiven, living as I'm forgiven is going to give me a gospel that looks at people with the potential that they could experience the forgiveness of God. We always look at people like they could experience the opportunity to join the family of God, to join the church of God, to experience the love of God. And why not include forgiveness in that conversation? Why not see that person in forgiveness? And like you said earlier, maybe the reason why I struggle with forgiveness towards other people is because I don't see myself, I don't live as I'm forgiven. I'm not living forgiven. If I wake up and live my day as I have to earn forgiveness, or I'm not forgiven, I have got to ask for it every day, God, forgive me, Christ is going to say, what have I done for you that I haven't already done? Do I have to keep dying on the cross? You're forgiven. Walk in the experience of it.
And if they... Maybe people just don't read the Bible. Could that be possible? It's in the scriptures, in the eternal book of God, eternal book, that we see the forgiveness of God. We see the gospel. We see this taking place as God forgives, you know, Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam, where are you? Mm-hmm. That's forgiveness. He's failed, you know. He's in a perfect place, you know, and he's failed. And where are you?
Wow.
They don't see that. They don't see that with Noah being forgiven, with Abraham. Just go through the scriptures and you'll see how forgiveness restored all of these people and put them right back in the place they were. Because I would say this, mm-hmm. His eyes are too pure to behold iniquity, mm-hmm. Habakkuk 2. So does God see you in your old sin nature? No, he does not.
Mm-hmm.
He does not. He doesn't see you in your sin. He sees you in his son.
That's it.
It's not seeing you in the sin. It's seeing you in the son. And when he sees you and I in the son, mercy, forgiveness.
As we close the program, let me ask you this question. Say I'm a believer listening to the program, and I realize that maybe I haven't emphasized forgiveness enough in my gospel to people in the world. How can I grow in that? How can I improve in that? What can I do?
Well, I think it's the scriptures that are going to teach us and train us and help us, you know, to look towards the scriptures and really see the heart of God in the scriptures. I mean, these people had the scriptures, like as Jesus would say to them, like, have you never read?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Matthew 21:40. Have you never read? Do you really see this? You do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So the error, and you've never read, 29 or 39 and 21:42 of Matthew. So I've got to go into this incredible, eternal, personal book of God and see how God thinks
mm-hmm.
and realize that my thoughts are not his thoughts, Isaiah 55:8-10. Therefore, my ways are not his ways. Mm-hmm. So I have to get thoughts in my mind. I have to receive the thoughts of God and how he sees and how merciful and forgiving he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basis, the foundation of it. It's not going to just say, I'm going to pray a prayer, God, make me a forgiving person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that can't, you know, that prayer is also important. And I have that heartbeat. But why would I be praying that prayer unless I knew that God is a forgiving God, and that he wants me to be that way, because we are his what? Ambassadors?
Yes.
We are his ambassadors. So,
amen. That's good news. Asking God to create in you his heart, that you would walk in his heart for forgiveness, studying the scriptures on forgiveness will help the forgiveness part of the gospel become more prominent in your ministry to yourself and to people. Thank you for joining us today on the Grace Hour. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. You can come by at 6025 Moravia Park Drive on Sunday at 9 a.m. and at 11 a.m. for church. We'd love to have you. We're also here at 6:30 on Sunday nights, or 7 o'clock actually on Sunday nights, and we're also here on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you then. Take care.